Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Engineered Entrepreneur Show. I am your host, Sarah Sheikh. I'm an engineer turned multi-six-figure fashion designer and a business growth strategist. I have a master's degree in cybersecurity engineering and 25 years of corporate experience and a wife and a mother of three wonderful children. This is your show to learn from me and other inspiring entrepreneurs the how-tos of brand visibility, business growth, funnel and website design so you can put your purpose into action. So if you are ready to uplevel your business strategy and your income to live your best life while making impact on the world, this is the show for you. I'm thrilled to have you here. So let's get rocking. Hello, 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 everyone. Happy Monday. Welcome to our guest expert interview. We do these interviews every Monday so we can bring other experts into the community who can share their expertise with us, what we can learn from them, because we cannot be a master of everything, right? So learning from others and then implementing what we learn is really what is going to help us get ahead of the game. So I invite guests in different areas of business with different expertise so they can come and share their wisdom, so they can come and share their knowledge and their skills, so we can, as a community, benefit from it. So today, we have got Arianna Bradford, who is an ADHD coach. She's an ADHD expert. And I invited her because, you know, a lot of people struggle with ADHD or lack of focus, et cetera, and not recognize it as what it is and address it and continue to struggle with it. So we invited Arianna so she can really share with us what are the signs to look for and what to do about it and what are the symptoms and how to address it. So without further ado, let me welcome Arianna. Hello, Arianna.
It's me. Hi, how are you? Hey,
great to have you. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for asking. Here, alive, it's all right.
Blessed, thankful. We're grateful that we're alive. We're able to talk from different countries, right? Live at the same time. So it's
an incredible world we live in.
Exactly. So, well, I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself, Arianna. So, you know, tell us about you.
Okay. I am Arianna Bradford. I am an ADHD, I call myself an ADHD productivity coach. You could just say ADHD coach. The reason that I call myself an ADHD productivity coach is because that is my focus. That is the way that I come at coaching. Some people tend to come at coaching from a more everyday life perspective, more of a mental perspective, but I have found in my experience that a lot of people with ADHD tend to judge themselves off of what they get done and what they don't. So my way of trying to help us feel more comfortable with our brains and to work with our brains better is by helping us learn to do things and get more things done in a way that is more friendlier, to the way that our brains work. So I call myself an ADHD productivity coach. I found out that I had ADHD in 2021 at the age of 35.
Well, you look too young to be 35.
That's very sweet of you. That's because there's a light and I did makeup and I washed my face. You did not see me before I showed up. I promised you wouldn't be saying that otherwise. But thank you. I found out late in life. And the reason why I started doing this is I realized that the way that my brain worked, I was one of those people who, upon realizing that I struggled with getting things done, would figure out methods to get them done anyway, despite the way my brain worked. And it worked to help me write a book, to help me grow brands, to help me, you know, work in social media and do a number of different things and parent. And I just realized that there were a lot of us who needed that. So I wanted to make sure that I could help in that way. And, you know, as per ADHD rules, I couldn't quite get there right away. Like I had to start out being calling myself like a mommy blogger, and then I was a digital consultant, and then I was a social media consultant, and then I was like, you know what, ADHD coach, let's just stick with one name for one. Everybody knows what to call me. And you know, that's what I did, and that's what my job title has been now, and I love it. It's very close to my heart, and it means something. Yeah, and it means something every time that I get to talk to somebody who, you know, was really struggling with something, and I'm able to talk to them and kind of talk them through it, and they're able to figure their way out into getting something done, not just getting it done. The way that I always put it is productivity is it is satisfaction, not perfection. Because a lot of us with ADHD feel like if we're not getting everything done, then we're not doing it right. And instead, what I try to teach them is that it's not about getting everything done. It's about getting things done to the point where you're happy with how your day ends. And a lot of us don't get that way for a lot of reasons. So knowing that I'm helping people get to that is what makes me extremely happy. And yeah, that's what I do.
That's wonderful. And just understanding the challenges and you becoming the expert in that area, that itself is, you know, it's really great, because a lot of times people want to start a business and they don't know. And the key to starting a business is really understanding the gap, really understanding what people are being challenged with. Mm-hmm. And for ADHD people, the biggest challenge is productivity.
Yes.
So, I mean, it just makes sense for you to be a productivity coach, because that is one of the biggest challenges. That is one of the things that really even sets, you know, them apart, or sets ADHD, you know, people apart from other people, is just the dealing of the struggle mm-hmm. with the productivity or the focus, lack of focus, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm glad that you recognize that challenge. And of course, when you have it yourself, it's easy to recognize it, but not everybody does something about it to help others do.
No. And you know, that's also because it can be kind of hard, right? You know, you have to, I honestly feel like I'm paying it forward, because the thing that pushed me to go get my diagnosis was people talking openly about their late diagnosis and hearing, because I had suspected because I started looking into getting the diagnosis for my son, who also has it. Mm-hmm. And I kept seeing things that sounded like the internet was making fun of me. Like I was like, that sounds like me. That sounds like me. And yeah. You know, I kept saying, I don't need to go look. And the thing that finally pushed me were people talking openly about getting diagnosed. And I felt like if they're doing that for me and the way that my life has changed since then, I think it's very important that that I keep paying that forward. That's how we learn, is by talking about these things and not living through that stigma.
Yeah. And I personally thought about that a few times. Maybe I have ADHD. Like sometimes I have lack of focus. Sometimes I feel like even though I get a lot of things done, I still feel like I haven't gotten anything done. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, so what are the symptoms people should look for at the beginning to recognize that might be a possibility and then go get tested?
So the most important thing before the symptoms themselves is you want to ask yourselves what the intensity or the frequency is. If you're just losing focus every once in a while, and you know, you're losing things every once in a while, but things for the most part feel fine, you feel like you're kind of running your life fine. That's not to say that you don't have ADHD, but it's probably you're functioning, you're high functioning, you're doing, you know, well. And so that might not be something to worry yourself about. Generally, what you want to do is you want to keep in mind how much it's interfering with your daily life. And if you are finding, for example, that you just can't make yourself do anything, and these things are not getting done, you know, it's not being procrastinated on for 2 days, it's being procrastinated on for weeks. Mm-hmm. getting to a point where, you know, it's almost urgent before you get to it. Even when you know that you try to put yourself in a situation where you can get it done. For example, for me, one of the biggest things was I wanted to write something. I got my laptop out. I forced myself to sit down. I put my laptop on my lap, and that laptop sat on my lap for 2 hours because I could not force myself to start writing. So when that happens, when your life is like that, that is where you need to start really getting concerned, because at that point, honestly, with most mental health situations, that's what they would suggest anyway. You know, if it's starting to interfere with your life, that's when they're like, okay, you actually have a personality disorder, or you actually have this, you actually have that. So with ADHD, that being said, the most popular symptoms are a difficulty focusing, not necessarily a difficulty focusing if there's background noise or if someone's talking to you, but you have a difficulty focusing just in general.
In general,
you find yourself, you know, sitting down to work, and instead of being able to work, even if it's dead silent, you know, you catch yourself consistently watching videos on YouTube or going down a rabbit hole, reading articles online. And the next thing you know, you've not gotten anything done. And very closely connected to that is time blindness, where you lose track of time. You sit down and you think that you're going to start something and you don't, you get distracted. And then the next thing you know, you thought you've only been sitting there for 5 minutes. You've been sitting there for 2 hours, which is also part of the reason why people with ADHD also tend to be late a lot, because they have a lot of problems with time blindness. So a lot of people mistakenly believe that because of the name, ADHD is very poorly named, but a lot of people automatically assume that because of the H in ADHD that everybody has to be hyperactive. That is actually not necessarily a symptom. In fact, my personal symptom was fatigue. That is what made me go get checked. And fatigue, very, very, very common with women, because most of the time our ADHD presents mentally, not physically. So that's why a lot of us did not get diagnosed when we were young, because we weren't really causing problems. You know, we sat, we were quiet, and we just daydreamed a lot. So a lot of the time, if you're constantly feeling fatigued and there doesn't seem to be a reason why, check into what your thoughts are like. If your thoughts are racing, even though your body is tired, ADHD could be the culprit. And then, you know, there are a bunch of other little things to look into. Really, if you look up symptoms for ADHD, there's like a very long list. And it's tempting to think like, wow, well, everybody has this, so everybody must be ADHD. But again, remember, it's about how much it is interfering with your daily routine and your daily life. So yeah, those are the biggest things, though. You definitely want to also pay attention to whether or not you have sleep issues. It's very, very, very popular. If you work with projects a lot, which a lot of us do in some state or another, if you find that prioritizing steps is very, very hard for you, ADHD could also be a reason for that. So those are just some of them, but those are probably the most popular.
So what are the common ways that you recommend working around these challenges, especially for those that are not really hyperactive, but they're mental, you know, the mental racing or the challenge? What are your recommendations as far as getting things done or staying focused?
Let's start with staying focused. So staying focused in itself is going to be difficult sometimes. And you have to keep in mind, no matter what, before I get into this, just keep in mind that if you have ADHD and you try to enact some of this and it works sometimes and other times it doesn't, that's just kind of how it works. You're going to have good days and you're going to have bad days, even when you're medicated. I am medicated and I still have days where I'm like, why can't I focus today? It's going to happen. But when you're dealing with focus, a lot of the time, the reason why you're failing to focus has something to do with your brain needing more stimulation, needing more dopamine, because you're generally going to be working on something that just isn't grabbing you. So you can't really make something more interesting if it's a set process. So instead of worrying about going after what you're working on, you want to try to keep things interesting outside of the project. One thing that I generally tend to suggest is if you are working from home and you're working on a laptop, try to change the location that you're working in often. Mm-hmm. Try to, you know, every 30 minutes or so, you know, if you can make it 30 minutes, then I would say probably every 30 minutes, you know, just try to, you're working at your desk now, pick up your laptop, take yourself to another room and work there, then pick it up and take it to another room and work in, you know, your kitchen. Try to make it so that you are working in different spots pretty regularly so that you're kind of getting a little bit of a change in location. It's forcing mm-hmm. you to move. And it tends to make it so that when you first sit down, your body is primed and ready to work. Another thing would be, you know, if you don't mind spending a little bit of money, there's a great app called Freedom. Mm-hmm. It is available for purchase online. And what Freedom does is it locks you out of social media, internet sites mm-hmm. that you're using, so that if you try to leave your site to see any of these things, you can't. Which makes it so that you might be more likely to stay on task because you know that there's nothing else to look at. It's pretty great. App that I personally tend to use is called Shift. Shift mm-hmm. is awesome. It is an all-in-one command center. And mm-hmm. basically what you do is you connect your emails, you connect any app that you generally tend to work with. They have a huge app libraries. There are a ton to add. And then basically you use that to start your work with, and you don't have to go to the web to do different things. So it tends to make you a little bit less likely to go web surfing because you have everything that you need right there in front of you. So that would be in terms of focus. You had brought up, how to deal with the mind racing, and that's a little bit more difficult. Basically, first off, one thing that a lot of ADHDers don't pay enough attention to is energy. You want to try to pay very close attention to how your energy ebbs and flows throughout the day. That's called your ultradian rhythm. Your mm-hmm. circadian rhythm has to do with how you sleep. Mm-hmm. Your ultradian rhythm has to do with how you go throughout the day. When your energy ebbs and flows, everyone has an ultradian rhythm. And what I suggest is, you know, you either get an energy tracker on your phone, you use a journal, whatever, keep track of how your energy generally tends to change day to day. And then what you want to do is you want to try to plan the things that you least want to do for the times that you have the most energy.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And you also want to pay attention to how your mind races throughout the day. If you find that you generally pop open, your eyes pop open in the morning with all these ideas that you have to just, you know, things that you need to get done, then your answer may be that while you're eating breakfast, you write down just brain dump. That's a word, that's a term I use a lot. Like people who have been listening to me for a while have heard me say brain dump 9,000 times. A brain dump is important for ADHD brains because basically what it is it's a place for you to take all of the thoughts that are out here and make them visual. And mm-hmm. once they're visual, it's much, much easier for you to see what needs to be done now, what needs to be done tomorrow, what needs to be done, you know, what could have been done yesterday, but you didn't get it done. And so you want to make sure that maybe a morning brain dump before you write your to-do list is an answer. If you find that before you go to bed at night, your brain is racing, then you might want to try to use a journal and try to get into journaling before bed. It really just kind of depends on how often it's racing and what it's racing in connection to. And the only way for you to know that is to kind of pay closer attention to what is triggering that for you.
Right. And brain dumping is, I think, really beneficial to even those people that don't have ADHD, especially sure. those of us that are like task oriented. We have a lot on our plates. Mm-hmm. When you do the brain dumping, it really frees your mind so you can sleep better. Otherwise, your brain would be racing throughout the night.
Absolutely.
So I think that's a great practice. So that's wonderful. So with the brain dumping, would there be like a strategy to really map out what you brain dumped into a task?
Yes. So it depends on what you've got. But essentially what I tend to suggest is that when you are brain dumping, first off, I generally tend to suggest that you have a few places to brain dump. You have something that is not digital, that is in an area that you spend a lot of time that's not next to your computer, just in case you happen to be walking through a kitchen, you have an idea, whatever, you don't have your phone on you, you can write it down, rip the piece of paper off, put it, you know, take it with you and transfer it. But what you want to do is you write it down. And if it's a big idea, like if you're thinking, oh, there's a new project or there's something that I want to start, I generally suggest about at least a 48-hour wait. If you can do 2 weeks, I say 2 weeks, because especially with ADHD, we get what's called shiny object syndrome. And we tend to think that new things just sound fun. And they are fun. They give us the dopamine rush because we get, to just make all this new stuff and come up with great ideas. And it's the fun part of the process, you know? Right. So we tend to get taken away by the idea of launching and making new things all the time. And so I always try to suggest giving space between yourself and the idea to make sure that you're not just thinking that this is a cool idea that you want to pounce on, and then you're going to wind up with another thing that you wish you hadn't started. Then if you get to the 48 hours to 2 weeks and you're like, all right, I'm still thinking about this idea. I still really want to try it. Then I say, okay, that's what you do is you're going to ask yourself three very, very big questions. Do I have the time? Do I have the energy? And is this aligned with my overall goals? And if the answer to any of those three things is no, you'll put it on hold, because essentially at that point, it's not time. It's not time. So that's what I usually suggest doing. And if your answer to all three things is yes, then great, go for it. Then you want to go ahead and you want to, you know, make it a large scale plan and start planning out the tasks and start doing all this other kind of stuff. But if the answer to any of those three questions is no at the time, then it's not the time to do it.
That's a great point, because I think all of us get excited with no ideas and we just want to jump on and start without asking these basic questions, because you're right. If one of them are no, you're going to be misaligned and then you're going to regret that you started something else that really didn't have any business doing those in the beginning, right?
Yep. And then you're going to wind up kind of being in this place later where you're going to have to make a very tough decision. Do I give this up and, you know, kind of have to publicly admit that this wasn't something I wanted to do, or am I going to have to cancel something else? And you also are driving yourself to break down, you know, to what's the word I'm looking for here? Not necessarily a breakdown, to overwhelm by doing that, because then you're spinning way more plates when maybe you don't need to.
So. Right. Or you end up quitting. You know, something, and like you said, having to explain that you quit on something because it wasn't a good idea to begin with.
Exactly. Yeah. So those are
your point.
Yep.
Very important. So 2 week wait period, either a 2 day or a 2 week wait period, and then ask yourself these questions. Do I have the time? Do I have the energy? And is this, you know, aligned with my overall goal?
Mm-hmm. Or even if you want to put it in a different way, you can say, will this get me to my overall goal? Especially, you know, if it's like work or project related, you could put it that way. But essentially, you just want to make sure that it's not going to deter you from what you ultimately want to be doing.
Right. That's good. That's a great point. Well, Arianna, what are some of the either tips or insights that you want to give our audience, for example, what to look for, whether it is on themselves or to their, you know, on their children? What are the simple signs to look for to, you know, to seek out some help, to go see a doctor or be tested? Because once we really understand those signs, and then people can take the next step of, you know, seeking help, seeing a doctor or being tested, and then they can get the advice on what to do going forward, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the things that they should look for, like the basic signs that people need to be looking for?
You know, we mentioned the lack of focus. You also would want to keep an eye out on difficulties with just taking direction or understanding things that you solely hear. A lot of people with ADHD struggle with things. If they just hear it, if they're not able to also visualize it, it can be a bit of an issue. Some people call it auditory processing disorder, but you don't necessarily have to have the disorder to possibly have that issue with ADHD. Another one that can be kind of that's lesser known is somebody automatically taking very tiny things as rejection that's not necessarily ADHD. That can also be, you know, borderline personality disorder, or they could also just be very sensitive. But ADHD actually has a lesser known cousin, whatever you want to call it, called rejection sensitive dysphoria. And essentially what that is a lot of ADHD kids, at least this is what they think. They think mm-hmm. the fact that a lot of ADHD kids by the age of, I believe it's 10, have on average received something like 20,000 more negative messages than a neurotypical child. So they tend to internalize that rejection, and they start to see everything negative that is thrown their way as a form of rejection, which makes them feel, you know, rejected for very tiny, teeny, tiny things that probably weren't rejection in the first place. So rejection sensitive dysphoria is another one. And there's always also the possibility, especially if you're looking at your child, but this is the same for adults as well. If you have a child who is very, very intelligent, but mm-hmm. seem to be doing well in school, ADHD is also a very high possibility, because it could be that they are very intelligent, and when they're interested in something, they can focus on it. But mm-hmm. when it is not presented to them in a way that keeps them interested, they're less likely to be able to focus. So those would be some good things, I think, to start with. As an adult, you know, also look at how you spend your money, because impulsive spending is very common for people with ADHD. Because, you know, shopping can give us, especially in this age of Amazon Prime, like being able to buy something and get it right away. That's a crazy feeling of dopamine, like a very big dopamine rush. You also want to pay attention to how you are on deadlines. If you are on a 2-week deadline and you find yourself just not doing anything until the last minute, and you're really like thriving on that last minute, then, you know, that could also be an ADHD sign. So those are just a few things. We're not a monolith. One of my favorite people in the world once told me, when you speak to one person with ADHD, you've spoken to one person with ADHD. So don't assume that, you know, if you're listening to me and you're not matching every single one of these things, that you don't have ADHD. You could. Now, I do want to also add a caveat. You could hear this and think that you have it, and you could also not. And I think that, you know, some people nowadays, like, ADHD is a very popular conversation topic. Yeah. And because it's such a popular conversation topic, and because I think, you know, there's this desperation that some people have to have an answer, they tend to get very angry if they don't get that diagnosis. And I just want to say, you know, I've written on this before, and it's something that I speak on pretty honestly. You want to make sure that your doctor's paying attention to you, but you guys are a team to find out what's actually wrong. You are not trying to push an ADHD. Mm-hmm. This. So if you go into this, and ADHD matches a lot of things, by the way, it's very connected to a lot of different things. So it's totally possible that you could go in thinking you have ADHD and find out you have autism, or that you have depression, anxiety, or OCD. And that's okay. Not having ADHD does not make your issues any less valid. Right. And, you know, it could even be that some ADHD, methods would work, but some, you know, just keep in mind your doctor should be listening to you, and your doctor should be trying to help you allay your fears, but don't go in there trying to push a particular diagnosis. Go in there asking for answers. Right. And whatever that answer is what you should be willing to work with.
Yeah, these are some symptoms that I've never thought that would be associated with ADHD, or and then vice versa, right? So it definitely helps to seek for professional help, professional test. So don't assume because you have this symptom that you do have it, or because you don't have certain system, you know, symptom, it doesn't mean you don't have it.
Exactly.
Get tested.
That's right.
And for adults, you know, I think we've always assumed that ADHD is like children's, you know, issues. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of adults are finding out, just like Ariana said, she was diagnosed at 35. A lot more adults are finding out that they are ADHD in the challenges they've had in the past that we really dismissed, right? We used to dismiss some of the challenges. But now we're realizing, you know, it is a thing and there is, you know, help, there is a treatment for it. So more people are getting tested and finding out that they are actually, you know, ADHD. So don't rule it out as being children's issue. If you have some of these symptoms that Ariana mentioned, definitely get checked, get tested. That way you can at least get, you know, number one, understand where your challenges are coming from. And number two, get the help that you need. There's treatment for it. There's a solution for it. So, Ariana, this has been a really great conversation. And it's a very important one, too, because we have seen a lot more children being diagnosed with this or even go without being diagnosed and they struggle through school and even in social life. So we definitely have to talk about it more. We have to encourage, you know, people to get tested, you know, address it and get the help they need for it. So I'm glad we had this conversation. Do you have anything coming up that you would like to share with our community? You know, go ahead and do so. That way they can participate. And we also definitely want to support you and what you're doing. So what do you have coming up?
So on Monday, actually, I am going to be launching a two-tier membership for people. I generally work one-on-one with business owners and, you know, with non-business owners as well. But for those who cannot do the one-on-one or just don't feel that the one-on-one is what they need, I'm going to have a two-tier membership that is going to be launching on Monday. And it is either anywhere from just doing more of like a self-led type thing where you have a bunch of articles and documents and things like that to watch on your own time to kind of help you out with those issues. Mm-hmm. To having a members-only community where I will be available to do Q&As once a month. I will be there 5 days a week for office hours to be able to answer like personal questions. You'll be able to interact with people who also have ADHD and kind of swap stories and plans and hobbies, you know. So there are a couple options there that will be coming up on Monday. So if you're hearing this and you kind of feel like you need help, but you're kind of feeling like one-on-one is not really within your wheelhouse, do feel free to go ahead and check that out. The links for that would be in my Instagram and all that great stuff. And obviously, if you do feel that one-on-one, it's time for some one-on-one stuff, you can also do that at my website.
Awesome. Yeah, Ali's going to post your Instagram link and your website link. So they will have it right into the comment section of this video. So it's accessible to them. And then if you have a link to the membership or the two-tier membership that you're talking about, go ahead and send it to us. We'll definitely include it into the caption of this video as well as in the comment section. Okay. What is the easiest way for people to connect with you? Where can they find you?
They can find me mostly on Instagram. I am under ADHD Prod, short for productivity. But you can also find me on TikTok under the same name. And my link for YouTube is really stupid. They made me put a C in it for some reason. I have no idea why. So I'm not even going to give you that link. I'm just going to say, go find me on Instagram or TikTok. And my link to my YouTube is there and you can follow me there. And for right now, also just to let you know, the membership link is not available yet because I'm still in the midst of putting things together. So at this point, there is a link to either join the newsletter or just if you're like, I don't really want the newsletter, I just want to know when this thing opens, there is a wait list as well. So you have some options and I'll make sure that I send you the links for that.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, for right now, Ali's going to definitely share your Instagram, you know, handle so that way people can connect with you on Instagram. And whenever you have it available, I'm sure you'll have the link posted somewhere
for sure,
so they can find you. Well, it was a pleasure having you here. It was really nice talking to you. Great topic to have a conversation with. So hopefully we'll reconnect again. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. Like I said earlier, we do these interviews that way we can bring in experts from different areas and let the community really benefit from these conversations that we have. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you benefited from it. If you have any question regarding what we have talked about, please put it in the comment. I'll come back and check. And then if you have any other questions or any topics that you would like us to cover, you can either put it in the comment of this video or just post it somewhere in the group, in the community, or send me a direct message, okay? So that way we can really, prepare and address the questions that you may have or the topics that you would like to cover. Thank you so much. Have an awesome week. Thank you so much for joining us today. Connect with us on Instagram or join our Facebook group. Links for our Instagram and Facebook group will be in the show notes. Join us for another episode next week. Until then, keep rocking your purpose.